That was good. It is good. It's a good morning because we're here in the house of the Lord. Still here, and it is a privilege and an honor and a blessing to be in His house. We need to never take it for granted at all. We remember that it is a blessing. We will go to Him now with your prayers. If you have a need or know someone that has a special need, we will always remember the lost and pray for them. Because I tell you, they need God, they need the Lord more than anybody. But we get lost.
Remember Faye Sheely's family? Her son Donnie passed away with COVID this week.
Amen. God bless that family. Anyone else want to remember my old girl request? Sister Mildred and Robin Leach, and Brother James. David's not with us at home, remember him. And that's one of the West Singer, and she's doing better, but still in some pain about this morning. Does anyone else have a request? Yes, go.
Continue to remember my family, my brother-in-law, with his chemo. They had changed it last time because it wasn't really doing any good. It wasn't getting worse, but it wasn't changed, so they changed his chemo. And I also remember my sister. She went last Thursday for the kind of like update on her lungs because she does have cancer in her left lung. Mm-hmm. And the doctor said that it is aggressive. He said it is aggressive, but he said the chemo can help. But he said, you know, it can also come back if it does go away. But I'll remember her because she's having to take this radiation right now. They can't do the chemo until she gets through with that because of the tumors in her head. He said that's the most important right now.
Amen.
And, but just remember her, and also remember my son and his girlfriend, which he tested positive for COVID last Friday. He's doing fine now, but she has been sick herself.
Amen. Anyone?
Father John, let's remember all the school kids who are out in the back.
Yes.
And those who are teaching to go to school, but they're being set back because of the COVID spike. Just remember Anne, she's one of them that was set back because of the COVID, because she's been around somebody. And let's remember the earthquake in Haiti.
Yes. Come by. Poor Francis was yesterday and requested prayer. He wanted to be put on the prayer list again. He's in bad shape. Y'all probably know him and know what I'm talking about. Some kind of skin disease, I think he has, but he's not doing well now at all. So we need to keep him in our prayers. Anyone else?
Donnie.
All by your lifted hand. Pray along with me, please. Precious and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you, Lord. We thank you for your love and for your mercy and for your grace and for your goodness. And for every good and perfect gift, Father, we know that our every need cometh from thee. And I know it's because of your great love that you do these things. Father, we know that we're lost without you, Lord. Pray that you be with us in all that we do, that you strengthen each and every one of us in your way, Lord God, that you draw us nearer to thee, and help us to live our lives pleasing to you, Father, that we will lead someone to you, Lord Jesus, who doesn't know you. We know, Father, Lord God, that you've heard each and every request that was made this morning. We pray, Lord God, that you minister to each and every one of them. Touch them, Lord God, in that special way, as only you know, and as only you can. Give them that joy and peace, the soul that passes all understanding. Pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that your anointing be upon me, upon Brother Lee, upon Brother Tim, each and every person that's in this building this morning,
yes,
watching on
Facebook.
That your anointing be upon us all, that word be given and received as you would have it, Lord God. Be with us, Father. Be with us, we pray. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Again, I hope that and trust that all of you read your lesson this week, of course. It's a good lesson. Each and every one of them is a good lesson. God's word is good. Every bit of it is good. And the title of the lesson this week is God's Love and Judgment. God's Love and Judgment. We know that God loves us, don't we? You know, the thing about it is we can't comprehend God's great love. We can't comprehend it. We don't know how much, you know, he loves us. But we know that supreme example of his love for us was through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, he gives us everything. Everything, but that was the most precious gift of all. And what would we do without Jesus? What would we do without Jesus? I know God loves us, but we know God don't judge us in the end, too, don't we? God don't judge us. You know, there's a lot of people in the world. The world's full of people today that don't believe this. They don't believe it. They believe that God is just love, and that's all it is to us. And because of his love, he's not going to punish anybody to do anything. And that's not so. If that was so, the world we live in today is bad enough. But if that was so, how bad do you think it would be? How bad do you think it would be? You know, the golden text of today says that he is the rock. God is the rock. That means God is immovable. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Do you know what a blessing that is that God doesn't change? What if he was like the gods back in the ancient world? If we change from day to day, what are they going to do? And was it mean and as cruel as they were? Of course, they weren't anything. You know, they weren't really a live God. It was what man made out of them. That's what man made out of them and thought. But thank God he doesn't change. His work is perfect. God's work is perfect. Think about it. When God first made the world, everything in it was perfect. Even man. You know, Adam and Eve wasn't made to die. They would live forever, weren't they? Can you imagine how beautiful the world was after God made it? Before man got hold of it and polluted it. Look at it today. We're threatened today with all kinds of things. I mean, with water pollution, soil pollution, air pollution. You know, that they predicted that I think by the year 2040, I think it is, that the world's temperature on the average will go up 2.7 degrees. And it's all because of what man's done. Putting this pollution and stuff in the air. Burning up the forest to put off toxins. Destroying what God made and give what it is. What it is. All of his ways are judgment. God is justice. He's good and he's justice. He doesn't make a mistake. God is full of truth and without iniquity. Praise God, he is. His word is true. Every word in his word in the Bible is true. And doesn't have any iniquity. God doesn't do any wrong. God doesn't make a mistake. Praise God that he's like that. If we served a God or had a God that was any different than that, we'd be in bad trouble. But you know, God has made everything and made it just right, perfect. He's made it all perfect. Just and right is he. And praise God, he is. You know, his word is true, and we can rely on it. God cannot lie. You read God's word, and whatever he says and the promises he said, he's going to keep them. Some of them he's already kept. Some of them he hasn't. He promises us now. The biggest promise that I've got that I'm looking forward to God. God said he's promising that the Son's coming back to this earth. Jesus is coming again. And who is he coming for? He's coming for those who are living for him, accepted him, and living a life pleasing him when he comes. That's who he's coming back for. That's who he's coming back for. And I want to be part of that kingdom, don't you? I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be left behind. In the early 21st century, secular culture, tolerance, and acceptance are the norm. That's true. Today, the world we live in now, just about anything goes. That just about anything goes. A lot of you are younger than I am, maybe a couple of you older than I am, but I know in my lifetime, I've told you, I've seen things moral, talking about moral, things have turned upside down. They've turned upside down. It wasn't God's doing. It's man's doing.
Amen.
Man is the one that's wrong. God's not wrong. He's perfect. One can think and believe whatever he or she wishes, even if it defies logic. They don't care. They don't care what anybody says or what the law says. Whatever they want to do, they think it's right and it's all right. And they shouldn't be have to answer for any of it. That's the world we live in today. We can see it all around us. We can see it all around us. Generally, people seem to not want to be challenged, held accountable, or told what to do with their lives. That is so true, isn't it? That is so true in the world that we live. Nobody wants to be told what to do. A key biblical text of this generation might be, judge not that ye not be judged. And I read this, I thought I've had so many people in my lifetime when I was trying to, they were doing something wrong and I was witnessing to them. And one of the first things that come out of their mouth was judge not, yet judge me not. And when we're telling somebody what they're doing is not biblically right or sound and not pleasing to God, we're looking at the fruit they're bearing. We're not judging them. When you judge somebody, then you're telling them what you're going to hell. And I'm not telling somebody they're going to hell by telling them what's wrong. Because they've got time, as long as they live, they've got time to straighten it out. But and in the end, when they do leave this world, I don't know where they go. God does. God's a judge. Not me. This scripture verse is often pointed to when Christianity attempts to hold the biblical faithful positions, when you attempt to tell them from the one where they want to quote that day. And another scripture that we hear a lot. The Bible says to choose your own salvation. It does, doesn't it? But they leave it that, don't they? They don't read the rest of that verse. It says with fear and trembling. Choose your own salvation, comma, with fear and trembling. What does that mean to you? To choose your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Search it out to make sure it's right.
It means that you hope and pray that you're right in the decisions you make. And in the choices you make, the decisions you make, you don't make them on your own, do you? You carry them to God, don't you? Anything that we do, we impulse, we carry to God and ask Him to lead us in it, don't we? Or we should do it. We should do it. That would be changing jobs or whatever it is. Buying a new house, buying a new car. Do you involve God in it? We need to involve God in our whole life and everything we do. We need to involve him in everything we do. When the idea of God is brought into a conversation, he is often described as loving, acceptable of everyone. And he does. God loves everyone. He loves the sinner. But he doesn't love what the sinner does. But he loves the sinner. The idea that a loving God might also be a God of judgment seems foreign to the secular world. They don't believe that. They believe God is loving, but they don't believe he's punishing. That he is judging. Scripture is reinterpreted and reapplied so to soften passages that seem to portray God in this way. We can relate to that too. Preachers and teachers today, a lot of them, they sugarcoat what God says. A pick and choose what God says. In other words, to suit the congregation or whatever they're talking to. Because people naturally, again, want to do what they want to do, when they want to do it, and how they want to do it. They want to incorporate as much of the lust of this world as they can in their lives. And yet be right in the end. That's what they want to do. That's what they want to do. We shy away from the idea of any kind of eternal consequences. Don't think. People don't want to think that they're going to be punished in the end if they don't live a life pleasing to God. You can't find many preachers today that teach on hell. They don't want to. Well, hell is in the Bible. I'll tell you that. It's in the Word of God. And it's there. And it's real. It's real. No matter how they live their lives, it ends up together in some heavenly aftermath. I thought about that. I watch TV a lot of times, or reading the newspaper, or watching TV, and some celebrity died. And y'all know what kind of lives most celebrities live. I mean, they party, they do this, they do that. Most of them got 4 and 5 wives, you know, or husbands or whatever. But they don't live wives. Most of them don't live wives pleasing to God. Now, again, you're looking at the fruit of it there, which is so. But when you see on TV and one of them passes away, they say, just about every one of them says, I know they're in heaven now looking down. And they're pleased, I mean. Well, if they didn't change and get it under their sins under the blood, they didn't repent of their sins and go to Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness. Both of those things are wrong. Number one, they're not in heaven. And number two, they're not looking down. The Word of God says, when you're in heaven, you don't remember the former things. They don't even come to mind. And you stop to think about that now. If you was in heaven and you could look down here and see what was going on in this world, and see what your loved ones was going through and stuff, would you be happy? Would you be happy? No.
No.
Yeah. But there's a lot of people in this world, and the world is full of them, that think when they die, they will have a much, 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 much better life, no matter how they live. But Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. And what Jesus is saying to me right there, you're not going to heaven unless you please God in your life and the choices you make here on this earth. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. We're starting off today. We're in Psalms 86:15 and Ephesians 2:4-5. It says, God is a mercy, is merciful and loving. God's compassion and mercy. O Lord, said David talking. O Lord, are a God full of compassion. And compassion, of course, you know, is sympathy. God cares for everybody, no matter who they are, where they are, how they're living. He cares for everybody. And again, he proved that through his Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He proved it through. And he's gracious, he's favorable, kind, friendly, and merciful. He's not a cruel God, not an arrogant God. He's a merciful God, and a gracious God. He's long-suffering. Praise God, he's long-suffering. Especially with me. I'll tell you, I lived out in sin a long time. And God loved me, took care of me, furnished me, my needs, when I was out there. Suffered a long time with me. Praise God, I make it. Praise God, I make it. He's plentiful in mercy and truth. Of course, we know what the Word of God says about mercy. It says, God's mercy can do it forever. We're reading this stuff now, looking at this stuff now, do you really realize how important that is to you and your life? That God is a loving, merciful, long-suffering, plentiful God, gracious God, that he cares about you. What a blessing, what a blessing, what a blessing. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins. Again, I tell you, God loves us. He loves you whether you sin or you're not. He loves the person that's living in sin, but he doesn't love the sin. He doesn't love the sin. He has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. We all know that. We're saved by grace. We're not saved by our works. You can't work your way into heaven. You know, there was a fellow that came to my house. I think it was Friday. And he asked me to pray for him. Pray for a friend of his that was in the hospital in ICU. And he got to talking to me about his life and all. And I know again, by fruit and bears, what kind of life he lives. And it, the life he lives is not pleasing to God. But he was telling me, he said, you know, I pray every night. And I knew that God answers some of my prayers instantly, and some of them he doesn't. But we know what the Word of God says about that. If you don't have a right relationship with him, he doesn't hear your prayer except in repentance. A lot of people don't want to hear that. But that's what the Word of God says. I didn't say it. That's what the Word of God says. And he says, you know, when I go to work, I take my Bible with me every day and I read it, and I read it, and I read it. Well, I don't know about you, but a lot of times when you're talking to people like this, they want to do all the talking. They don't want to let you say anything. But anyway, when I got down to where I finally could say something, I told him, I said, you know, it's good to read your Bible. It's good to pray. But I told him again about, you know, God here only hears the prayer of a sinner in repentance. And I said, it's good to read your Bible, but all this stuff is not going to get you into heaven.
Amen.
I said, what's going to get you into heaven is living a life pleasing to God. That's what's going to get you into heaven. I make the choices that God would have you make. Not the choices necessarily that you want to make, that this blood and flesh and the lust of this world is drawing you to make, and this devil is drawing you to make. But you got to live a life pleasing to God. We can say that over and over and over and over a thousand times. In the end, you've got to please God if you're going to live with him forever.
Amen.
You've got to live with him forever. God does not just love us from time to time. He does not love us only when we are worthy of it. He doesn't love us just when we're pleasing him. He loves us all the time. God loves us because it is very nature. You know, where did love come from? Yes. It came from God. God is love. Did you know that?
Amen.
And I don't confuse this that love is God. I think so. But God is love. Praise God, he is love. This is true when we are experiencing the blessings of knowing and walking with him. If you're living for God now, you know that he loves you because of what he does for you, because of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. You can feel him, can't you?
Amen.
You know he's there. You know he cares because of what he does for us. But it's also true in those times when we are guilty and are experiencing consequences for our choices. At no time, even in judgment, does God ever stop loving his creation.
Amen.
And then you remember that. No matter what you do, how bad you are, God still loves you. Don't give up on God. God's not going to give up on us. Unless we live a life so bad, continuously, and have so many choices and times and opportunities to make it right with him, and we don't do it, his word says he will turn you over to a reprobate mind. And once he does that, there ain't no coming back. But right now, the door is open. The door is open for all, no matter who you are, where you are, where you live, the door is open for everybody to have a right relationship with God through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And a lot of the world don't think that's so, but that is the only way. Thus saith the Word of God. The only way to God and to heaven is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Only way. No matter how situation of things about God must be rooted in the knowledge that he loves us and desires the best for us. We need to remember that if we don't remember anything else. All we do in our life, no matter what we're facing or what we're going through, and we're going to go through trials and tribulations. But we need to remember that God loves us and cares for us. He loves us and cares for us. How would your life be different if God was not compassionate, merciful, and loving? It scares me to think about it, don't you?
Amen.
It scares me to think about it. But moving on now to John 8:9. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If you don't love anybody, then you don't know God. That's for sure. What does it does God's word say about love? It says love your neighbor. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. That was one of the two great commandments. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Again, look at the sacrifice that God made for us because of his love for us. Would you give your only begotten Son for somebody else? Would you sacrifice his life for somebody else? Would you let him go through what Jesus went through for somebody else? Think about it. How great God your love was that he did that. You know, Jesus didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it. Since God's nature is love and worship, those same characteristics must be evident in the lives of those who are his. We've got to have the same thing in us. We've got to have the same thing in us. We got to love and we got to have mercy. We got to love everybody, no matter what they do to us. We got to love them. And no matter what they do to us, we got to forgive them, don't we? The word of God says, if you don't forgive them, he's not going to forgive you. These things seem hard, and they are, for this old flesh and blood body that we live in now. This old world we live in now. And some people, I tell you, they act so bad and mean that it's kind of hard to really reach out and love them, but we do. We care about them, don't we? You got to care about them. Care about them and their lives and where they're going to wind up if they don't change your life. And they don't live if you don't let a life pleasing to God. I mean, it really scares me, you know, to think about some of the people, some of the things they say and the way they live. But, again, it comes to my mind that Jesus Christ said everybody is not going to go to heaven. He said it again, that many will seek, but few will find. So everybody's not going to go. Everybody's not going to go. Only those that live a life pleasing to him. Scripture isn't that. That knowing God is a born again relationship means we are going to love others. If we're born again, accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit comes into our body, we're born again. We're not the same person that we were before. We're not going to like the same things that we liked that were wrong to us before. We're not going to go to the same places that were wrong to us before. We're not going to do the same things that we used to do that was not pleasing to God. We're not going to do it. And we're going to love others. We're going to love everybody. We cannot honestly claim to be in a relationship with a loving God and not at the same time have a loving relationship with those around us. Do you love everybody you know? Have you holding any animosity, greed, jealousy for anybody in your life? If you are, you better get rid of it.
Amen.
You better get rid of it because it's not pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to God to be jealous of your neighbor, to be envious of your neighbor, or to treat your neighbor bad. And who is your neighbor? It's just not the person that lives next door to you down the street from you. It's everybody that you meet. It's everybody that you meet. God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten Son into the world in order for us to have true life in him. And praise God for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God, praise God. The most perfect and precious gift of all. Jesus Christ. He did not just come for a select few. That's the wonderful thing about Jesus. He didn't just come for a select few people. He did not pick and choose whom he loved. He loved the entire world. Christians with one another, as well as with those who have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, should be an ongoing demonstration of love for God. What's that saying? If we're a Christian, you claim to be a Christian, and everything you do should demonstrate your love for your neighbor, which demonstrates your love for Jesus Christ. You should, everything that you do should demonstrate how much you love your neighbor and you love everybody. Love is the key to it all. If you don't love, you ain't making it. You got to love. When someone walks into a church, listen to this now, let's jump out of it. When someone walks into a church, the atmosphere should be one of love and unity. Anybody that walks through those doors that hasn't been here, anybody, no matter what, we should love them.
Amen.
Shouldn't we? No matter how they dress, who they are, what nationality they are, it doesn't matter.
Amen.
We love them. Why? Because Christ does.
Amen.
And if we live a Christ-like life, we don't love them too. If we don't love them and care for them, then we don't have the Holy Spirit living in us.
Amen.
We gotta go back and do it all. Should be one love and unity. Church should be a place where there is no division because of ethnicity or social status. That's something that people don't adhere to. They really don't. Someone that's got a lot of money, a lot of people adhere to them, don't they? They show partiality. Why? Jesus does it. Does it? Somebody that's maybe not the same race as you are, you can't look down on him. You can't do it. You gotta have love for everybody. Even when a church member is guilty of sin and in need of correction, it should be done in spirit of love and restoration. Amen. Somebody messes up in the church and goes back, what are we to do? First of all, we keep on loving. We don't stop loving. We hear about it. And we try to get them back, do whatever we can. Pray for them, first of all. Try to do whatever we can to get them back into a right relationship with our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And we do it in love. We tell them maybe what they did is wrong. But we do it in love. We let them know the whole time, we let them know that we love them. We let them know that we love them. We just don't run them out the door and forget about it. That's not what Jesus does. If we mess up, what does he do? He told us we could come to him anytime. So I think the disciples asked him how many times he's going to give somebody. Wouldn't he say 70 times 7? No matter what you do, how much you do, you mess up, you come to Jesus and he'll forgive you. If it's insincere. Now, a person just can't do it deliberately and think they're going to come back to Jesus every time they do it and be forgiven. You can't do that. Jesus knows your heart. He knows whether you're sincere or not. And if you aren't sincere, he's not going to hear you. You got to remember that. She's got to be sincere. This type of atmosphere is foreign to the human mankind outside of God's world. The world don't understand that. Somebody does something wrong, they think it breaks the law somewhere, they want to place them, forget about them, brand them for life. That's what they want to do. It is made possible through the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells among us and in us. We can't live this kind of life or live a life pleasing to God without the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and leading us and teaching us and guiding us and protecting us. We can't do it. We cannot do it. And 1 John 4:13 says, because the Father sent the Son to the Savior of the whole world, not just the Savior of one nationality or one group of people, but the whole world.
Amen.
The whole world. You know, we have a lot of people now that they want to, these people in the world now trying to do away with a certain nationality. Do away with them because they don't believe like they believe or think like they believe. They just want to wipe them out. Kill them. That's what they're trying to do. But you know, we got to ask you a question to think about, really. When we all get to heaven, and we got to delete our glorified bodies, what color are we going to be? You know, the world's full of people of different colors today. But when we get to heaven with that glorified body, what color are we going to be? Are we going to be different? Or are we all going to be the same? Is God going to look at us differently because of our color? He's going to look at us differently. It's not. God's righteous and perfect judgment and present reality. This is God talking in Exodus 24 through 6. This was after he gave the Ten Commandments, I believe, to Moses in there. He said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, is a jealous God. You know, God can't have no other God before. If he did, he wouldn't be a God.
Amen.
He wouldn't be a God. This is the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate thee, and showed mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Again, you've got to keep God's commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What he said. Idolatry is not just an ancient problem. It has been an issue throughout human history. We tend to want to fashion a God which makes sense to us. We prefer to worship a manageable deity rather than God, the creator of the universe who has revealed himself to us, particularly in the person of Jesus Christ. In other words, that's what people want to do today. They want a God. They want to do what they want to do in this life. And they want it to be right with God. That's what's wrong with the world today. That's what's wrong with the world today. Full of it. Although it may not be carved out of stone or precious metal, it is still a form of idolatry when we listen to this now. When we give our love and worship to such idols as money. Amen. Who in the world today doesn't want money? There's nothing wrong with wanting money. I need money. But what's wrong with it is when you let it control you. If you let it start controlling you and it becomes number one in your life, then that's wrong. Work. Everybody wants a good job. Huh? And we want to go to the top in our job. But don't let it rule you. Whoever, all of us want to be successful, don't we? Nothing wrong with this. As long as you don't let it control you, become number one. Image. We all want everybody to like us, don't we? We want to be popular. We want to be popular with the world. I want to be popular with God. I want to please God. That's what I want to please. Not man. And I'm sure each one of you want to do that too. Materialism. People in the world today don't seem to be able to get enough. I pass down the road now, I ride down the road now, and I see huge houses, after house, after house, after house. And in the yard is somewhere around at least 2 to 4 cars or vehicles or more, big boats in the yard, swimming pools in the backyard. It was four generations. Nothing's wrong with it. But just don't let it start ruling you or controlling you.
Amen.
Remember who gave it to you. Remember who made it possible for you to have it.
Amen.
And remember who can take it from you anytime he pleases.
Amen.
It's God. And if you put it before him, you might take it away. You know, God has a way of getting your attention. If you know him, serve him, and live for him for a while, and you backslide on him, God will get your attention. And the sad part about it is he usually has to do something tragic in your life to get it, to really get your attention. And whose fault is all that? It's not God's fault. Why would he do something tragic in your life to get your attention to bring you back? Because he loves you. Because he don't want you to go to hell. That's why. And sex. Of course, that's sex is one of the biggest sins that's committed in this world that we live in today. We know what the Word of God says about sex. Sex is wrong unless it's in marriage.
Amen.
No other way to put it. It's wrong unless it's in marriage. Our tendency is to fashion idols which look and think and mark like ourselves and justify the moral and ethical choices we make, want to make. We may even address our idol up in spiritual language and attempt to use scripture to define it. A lot of people do that. They live the life they want to and they pick and choose out of scripture to try to make it right what they're doing. You know, you can pick and choose out of the Bible, but it's not what you should do. You would take the whole Bible and read the whole Bible, just not pick and choose. You've got to incorporate the whole Bible into your life. But our idolatry is a manifestation of our destructive desire to be the captain of our own destiny. We want to control everything. I know some people in my life that I call them control freaks because they want to control everything around them, everything they do, and even what other people do. Even what other people do. Doing what we want to do when we want to do it the way we want to do it. How many people in my life have I heard test say to me or to someone else, nobody tells me what to do. Nobody is going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. What I want to do. Well, I got news for you. God's telling me what to do.
Amen.
And they better listen to him. And they don't have to listen to man, but they better listen to God. Because who's the judge in the end?
Amen.
Who's the judge in the end is God. There are consequences from our sinful life. God has created this world in such a way that our decisions and actions will impact more than just ourselves. You know, when a person commits a sin, no matter what that sin is, I thought about it. You think of a sin, can you think of a sin that you can't tell? Can you think of a sin that you or anybody else commits that doesn't affect someone else? I've heard people say, well, I might be doing wrong, but I ain't hurting nobody but myself. How wrong they are. How wrong they are. If you commit adultery, are you affecting anybody else? You're affecting your wife or husband, your kids or their kids. You're affecting families. And if it winds up in a divorce, look what it's doing. It's how it's affected. What is going on? And the children have to live with this the rest of their life. Brought up usually in a split home or just with one parent. Not because of something that God did, but because of something that man did.
Amen.
Man's the one that makes it wrong. As we said a while ago, there ain't nothing wrong about God. It's man. And God gives us the freedom to make the choices and to choose what we want to do. It affects those around us, and particularly our choices affect those closest to us. They do. Our family. What we do. If a person goes out and robs a bank or commits murder, whatever they do, it affects the whole family. It affects the whole family. The opposite of this is also true if we live in the light of God's love, serving Him faithfully and obediently. We will see God's blessing in our lives, the lives of those around us, and those who follow us. You live a life of God, you're going to experience His blessings. God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. We can rejoice in the fact that according to verse 6, God's blessing toward His faithful servants will affect 1,000 generations. Now, you know, if you're brought up in a family where your mother and your father just live any way they want to, live a sinful life, do anything they want to, and kids come up in that kind of environment, what are they going to usually turn out to be? They're going to usually turn out to be like the mother and father and do the things that they did. But in the same token, the opposite of that, if you live with a far older Savior, Jesus Christ, and you demonstrate to them His love and mercy and grace through you and everything that you do, and your kids see this, most of the time, they're going to grow up. It's a good thing. You know, they may, when they get out of high school or something, they get with other people in the world, the kids, but they may for a while pull away from them. But 90% of the time, they're going to come back to what they need. It's because of the way they were brought up. It has an effect on them. The way you're brought up has an effect on them. Has an effect on them. Psalms 37 and 37, it says, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Praise God. Watch the people. It's telling us, watch the people around us that are living with the Lord. See what kind of life they live. See what kind of life they're having. It doesn't mean they're not going to have trouble and trials and tribulations. But watch them how they handle them when they come. You'll see that they'll turn them over to God. And that they'll make it through. They will, you know, they'll make it through. God will make a way for them. And they'll make it through. And it's to, if God gives them the peace, it passes all understanding. And if you haven't had that peace, you don't know what it's like. I can't tell you what it's like, and no man can tell you what it's like. That peace from God passes all understanding. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Those that don't serve God and leave this world without their salvation intact are doomed forever. In a place where they, no me, no you, no nobody, can comprehend how bad and how terrible it is. You may think you have a hard time here on this earth, but you don't know nothing of what heaven's like. This is John talking about when he saw the vision of God, the throne, and the judgment, the last judgment, Revelation 20:12. And he says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. There again, in the end, we're going to be judged about the life we live. That's what we're going to be judged about. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's, no matter what anybody in this world believes, that's the way it's going to be.
Amen.
Because God's word says that. And God does not lie. There's a time coming other than the life here on this earth. There's another time. A time of judgment. A time of judgment. John gives us an insight into what this means as we read about a time of judgment. All people will be summoned to stand before God and give an account of how each one of us lived. In his vision, John told us this judgment will be according to one's works and according to the book of life. I want my name in the book of life in you. And you know, if you got that right relationship with your Lord and Savior right now, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. What will make it be removed? Sin. Sin. When sin enters into your body. Really? But what puts it back to the same thing you put it there to start off with? Repentance. Repentance. Go and do your first work, so go back and do it over.
Amen.
This does not mean we're saved by works, but it does indicate what we do with the body matters in the end. Yep, what we do with this body matters in the end.
Amen.
And you know the word of God says when you commit adultery or fornication with this body, you're sinning against your body.
Amen.
What you're sinning against. What matters most of all is that our name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That's what matters more than anything. When we leave this world, whether it's in the first death of our Lord and Savior returning, what matters is that our name is in the Lamb's book of life. Here the focus is the consequences of life, about life choices. Have you ever done anything in your life that's wrong that you have reaped the consequences of? I, matter of fact, I've done wrong in my life that I'm still reaping the consequences of. But praise God, I got it under the blood. Once I leave this world, I will reap the reward. I will reap the reward. Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. It is with me." So Jesus is coming. He says, "I'm coming quickly." Some people say, "What do you mean by quickly?" How many years Jesus has been gone? Well, first of all, we know what the Word of God said. A thousand years, but a day would go over. But he's coming quickly. When he comes back, he said, "Coming quickly." What does it say? The blink of an eye. Blink of an eye when he comes back. And it also says he's coming at a time when we expect him the least. But the key to it is he's coming back.
Amen.
He's coming back. He's coming back. God's wrath flows from his love. Psalm 17, it says, "My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart." The David talking again. You know, my defense is God. That means we got the Holy Spirit living in us and dwelling with us and protecting us. The devil's going to still come against us.
Amen.
But praise God, he can oppress us, but he can't possess us.
Amen.
Not with the Holy Spirit living in us. He can't do it. He can't do it. Matthew 13 and 41 says, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire." Now, people that don't believe that they're going to be judged and believe there's no hell, I don't know what they do with these verses. They got to ignore them. I've got a mind of the Bible or something. It doesn't matter what they do, they're there and they're real. They're there and they're real. "And cast them into a furnace of fire, that shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Gnashing of teeth. Wailing. Can you imagine how many screams and what it's going to sound like? I don't want to, because I don't want to be there.
Amen.
I don't want to be there. "Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of the Father, who have ears to hear, let him hear." Have you ever, you've read the Bible before, and how many times do we read, "Who have ears to hear, let him hear"? What does that mean? To me, that means you better pay attention. You better take it to heart. You better deal with it rightly. You know, God's nature is love, but it would be a mistake to confuse God's love with promiscuous. God's love is a holy love. God loves us, but he ain't going to permit us to do anything we want to do and let us get by it.
Amen.
He's not going to do it. You know, God's love is holiness. God loves holiness when you hate sin. Look what sin has done to the world we live in. Look what sin has done to the world we live in. Jesus Christ tells us at the end of time he will send his angels to gather everything that causes sin as well as all lawbreakers. Jesus is going to get rid of all the sin and all the lawbreakers and all the wrong in the end. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. God's judgment is certain. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Follow peace with all men and holiness. What does that mean, holiness? That's one of the things I've told a lot of people that I look for in my life now, is holiness in people. What does holiness mean to you? Holiness is Christ-likeness, isn't it?
Amen.
That's what it is. That's what it is. So we got to live Christ-like life if we're going to make it to heaven. And we got to have peace with our brothers and our sisters. Love them. Care for them. Do what we can for them. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering, thank God he is, toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God's will for you to go to hell. If you go to hell, God don't send you there. You send yourself by the life you live.
Amen.
That's what you do. You send yourself there by the life you live. The power to choose good or evil has been given to us by God. Without that power, there could be no moral action, responsibility, obedience, holiness, or love. Life without power of choice would be the working of a machine. If we didn't have, if all the choices were made for us, and we couldn't choose, and all, what of us would like? Wouldn't it? There again, God's done everything right. He hasn't done anything wrong. We're the ones that do wrong. Man's the one that does wrong. Man, not, it does wrong, not God. Not God. We often abuse our freedom and turn that which should be led to holiness into an occasion to sin. That's what we do. We make the wrong choices in the lives of our kind of children instead of the right ones. But God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. His desire is that all would be saved. Remember that now. And right now, the door is still open for those who are living in sin to make it right with God. That's why God keeps the world here. That's why he's long-suffering. That's why Jesus had to come back waiting on someone else to be saved. God knows all things. He knows who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved. He knows all things. God's judgment is a reality with which we must reckon. His judgment is real. It's going to be real. Whether you accept it or you don't accept it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But his mercy is just and real. We can be thankful to know his desire is for no one to be lost, but for all to come to repentance and relationship with him. He is always working and is long-suffering towards us, and praise God, he is. Praise God, he is. The Holy Spirit is always working and drawing men and women into a saving relationship with the Lord. For those who have not yet been saved, he draws them with forbidding grace. In other words, he don't want you to keep on. If you haven't been saved, he don't want those that aren't saved to keep on sinning. He wants them to stop, to start living a life again. To those who respond and cry out, forgiveness, he offers justification. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, in sincerity, dedicate your life to him and the service of him, then you're justified before God. You're forgiven of your sin. And he justifies you before God. To those who are part of God's kingdom, the Holy Spirit gives sanctifying grace. What does Paul say about sanctifying? He says, sanctify yourself daily. Why does he say that? Because we're not perfect. Because we're going to make mistakes. But God sanctifies. We have to pray and ask for sanctification. You know, sanctification makes us able to overcome the trials and temptations of the world. And to keep our God, eyes on God. And to hold on to his unchanging name. That's what we need to do. Further transforming them into the image of Christ from glory to glory. From glory to glory means that we overcome trials and temptations, tribulations, and we hold on to God, hold on to Jesus Christ, we get stronger and stronger. It's glory to glory. As long as we're in this world.
Amen.
As long as we're in this world. Our role is to respond to God's grace faithfully and live in the light of his love and the assurance of his righteousness. Live a life pleasing to him is what it's all about. If you don't live a life pleasing to him, your name is not going to be in the Lamb's book of life. And when you leave this world, you're not going to live with him for eternity. You're going to live in hell for eternity. And as I've told you many, many, many times, eternity is a long time. Hell is a bad place. And I don't want no part of it. No person should want any part of hell. No person. And God's made a way for us not to have to go there. Send ourselves into what we do. God, that's what a lot of people think. God doesn't send you to hell. God doesn't send you to hell. He judges you of what you've done. Therefore, you sin yourself. If you go to hell, what a life you make, live, what a choices you make. You've got to remember that. You're sinning yourself there. And remember this, God sees everything that we do.
Amen.
You can't slip nothing past God. You may slip it past your neighbor and fool him. But you won't fool God. And you know, a lot of people, they'll hide stuff they do. I don't know if you smoke a cigarette. Somebody come up, you'll go hide it because you don't want them to see it. Or you drink whiskey or you go to the liquor store, same thing. You don't want nobody seeing them going to the liquor store. A lot of people ask somebody, go buy me this and liquor, go get me. Because they don't want people to see them going there. God sees them.
Amen.
God sees them. I want to please God. I'm not out here to please people. Because in the end, God will be my judge, not people. Thank God for His love, mercy, grace, and goodness, and for His Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your attention.
Good lesson, brother.
Good job, brother.